Now, good evening, everyone. Daniel's going to set up some help with some slides, but if you can turn to Genesis 39, we're going to spend some time there, and I'm going to talk about a couple situations here. We're going to focus on a character in the Bible that may help us with our life today. You know, the title of my lesson is Life's Tough, and we've all heard the term, and we've all run into situations where someone could say to you, you know what, life's tough. How many of you seen the scene where you've got a little child with an ice cream cone, a three scooper, and their eyes light up, it's all they want, and they go to take that lick right on the ground. And you're like, no, you can't eat it, you can't pick it up. Oh, and they're crying. Life's tough. Life's tough, kid. We grow up a little bit, and we all have our situations. And we all go through certain things. Now, I don't know about your life, but I know in my life, certain situations can be tough. How many of you can relate to this? You're going to church, run a little late, and as you're cruising along, making good time, you see some lights in the rear-view mirror, and you're like, uh-oh. Let's see now. Might say a little prayer, move over to the right lane, turn down the radio a bit, and you get that feeling in your stomach that, oh, it's kind of a knot there. I hope it's not me. Before you know it, someone's pulled right behind you, and you're pulled off to the side of the road. And there's a hello, officer. You realize you are exceeding the posted speed limit. Yes, sir. License and registration, please. Takes it back to his car, and you've got a tough 5 minutes of sitting there. Now, that 5 minutes is filled with a lot of prayer, but in no way is it pleasant at all. Comes back to you, and you're like, officer, I was just going with traffic. Officer, I was late for church. Officer, I'm an excellent driver. I can handle that speed. Just sign here, Mr. Ladowski. Now, for those of you who may ask my wife afterwards, did he get a ticket recently? No, didn't get a ticket recently, but I'm very familiar with the process. Life's tough. Life's tough. Okay, you may be sitting there and saying, yeah, life's tough. You have no idea about my life. That's only a ticket. What do you know about tough? Have you suffered through the death of loved one? You have the financial difficulties that I have right now. You know the stress that I'm under. You know the health problems that I'm facing. Do you know the family situation going on right now? I have to deal with this, and through no fault of mine, I've got this situation. Well, sometimes when we do all the right things, things happen to us that don't seem to make sense. And we struggle with those things. Genesis chapter 39. Here's a character here that you're very familiar with, I'm sure. It's Joseph. Now, Joseph was born into a really good family. Jacob's father, they're well-to-do. Here he is as a teenager, the youngest son, a lot of older brothers, and they don't like him. I wonder if he got beat up a lot. Probably did, because that's what younger, older brothers do, but at some point, he's 17 years old, tending the flocks, doing his job, serving his dad, his family, and he tells the brothers of a dream he had. They're so jealous that they plan to kill him. One of the brothers steps in and talks some sense of, let's not kill him, let's just sell him. So they sell him into slavery. He ends up in Potiphar's house. who's the general of the guard there, and he does quite well. Potiphar even says, I know God's with you, but at some point, as he goes on and serves, he's put in charge of Potiphar's house. Potiphar totally trusts him. Potiphar's wife takes a liking to him, gets him in a situation where she lies about it, and he's thrown into prison. So here's a guy serving God, doing well, finds himself in prison. But even the prison guard says, I know God's with you. Puts him in charge of everything. And you know, he talks to some of the prisoners. One's a baker, wine taster, interprets some dreams. But Joseph, who's totally innocent, falsely accused, he's in prison, not for doing something wrong, but for doing something right. You think he said to himself, this doesn't make sense. You think Satan may have been working on him? Where's your God now? Well, we know that story continues. And what I want to talk about is, we had a call about a week ago. A caller calls up, and I was talking to her, and she says, you know, I seem to pray and pray, and I'm praying through the suffering. She says, why does it take so long for God to answer me? I don't see anything happening. People are suffering. They're not being healed. I'm praying and praying, and things are not happening. I'm sure Joseph was praying a lot, trying to serve God the best he can. And you see, why is nothing happening? Maybe you can relate to that with something happening in your life today and think, why doesn't God do something? Why isn't anything happening? I'm trying to do all the right things and nothing is happening that I think should happen. We have to understand that God's timing is not our timing. So Joseph, here in Genesis 39, he was put in prison. It says the Lord was with him. And he's in charge of all the prisoners because the head of the prison said, the Lord is with you, and I can see that, and I trust you with it. So I'm going to go through four principles that may help you deal with situations when things don't seem to make sense. One is, don't demand to understand. I know when something happens to me, I feel like I have to have a reason. Why did this happen? I want to understand. I want to put it into perspective. I want a reason because this seemingly negative thing in my life is happening. And if it's for a good purpose, I'm serving God. If it's for a good purpose, I can see it. I want to live through it. It's maybe persecution and maybe something along these lines. I'm fine with that. But what happens when you don't see any good in something that's happening? You can't demand to understand because I'm convinced you may not understand. It may take some time and you may eventually understand because you may see God's plan and God's timing. But sometimes, I'm convinced, we'll never understand until we get to heaven. And probably at that point, it won't matter. Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, remember Him. I think to myself, as smart as I am and as wide as my imagination is, I can sense there's going to be some good coming out of this. But I don't want to depend on my own understanding because God tells me not to. Another scripture that might help. You look at Isaiah 50. Does anyone among you have respect for the Lord? Does anyone obey the message of the Lord's servant? Let the person who walks in the dark trust in the Lord. Let the one who doesn't have any light to guide him depend on his God. We may be in the dark sometimes. Even if we're serving God, we may be in the dark about what's happening to us. You just have to accept that. God tells us that. And Joseph probably had these thoughts. I mean, he was in a dark prison thinking, what is going on? God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not like my ways. Heavens are higher than the earth, and my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than yours. Many of God's great saints didn't always understand what was going on. We've got the example of Job. Look what happened to him. He didn't understand what was going on at the time. He had friends there to try to explain to him what was going on. They didn't understand what was going on. What we do know is we need to serve God through it. Habakkuk, I don't know if you're familiar with that prophet, but he was perplexed at times. When the enemy was closing in, when all this violence was happening around him, he was saying, God, where are you? What's happened? I think sometimes we feel like that. Prayers aren't being answered. God, where are you? What is happening? Even Paul. Paul said to the Corinthians, we are perplexed. Paul, the servant of God, divinely inspired, still not understanding everything. Besides not demanding to understand, when something that's going on doesn't make sense, don't fail to be faithful. Genesis chapter 39, if you'll check those verses out, it says the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Can't fail to be faithful. Things happen where you question your faith. You question your walk. You question the relationship you have with God because of the things going on in your life. Don't fail to be faithful. We see Joseph still serving God while being sold into slavery. While being under a slave under to a master, while being in prison. Just because it doesn't make sense at the time doesn't mean it makes sense later. Take discipline, for example. Nobody likes it at the time. Even the Bible says that. No discipline is pleasant, but later on, it brings fruit that may have a changed character. You know, God has a spiritual purpose to his ways. We may never, ever be able to see that while on earth. But God's got a purpose for you. You know the song, trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to the blessed promised land. But we'll follow till we die. And we'll understand it later. Don't bow to bitterness. How easy is it sometimes to become bitter? Look at Joseph's situation. Talk about a tough situation. Here he is, a teenager, sold into slavery. And you know, as he goes on and lives his life and serves, he finds himself in front of Pharaoh at 30 years old. You do the math, 13 years in prison, probably for most of that. For not doing anything wrong. Don't you think he had a right to be bitter? You know, ice cream cone, a traffic ticket, no big deal. But when something really happens that can shake your faith, I think that's when you see your character come out. Cancer. A car crash. A job loss. What happens in the bad times? You turn to God? Turn away from God? Blame God? What we need to do is keep serving Him. What we need to do is not demand to understand right away and not to bow to bitterness. What we need to do is keep praying, keep singing, keep giving, keep learning, keep worshiping in service, keep being outward focused. The same God that was with Joseph in his good times was with Joseph in his bad times. Joseph got to the point where he was second in command over all of Egypt. What a way he has come. Not bitter. And you know, while he was in prison, we see a couple things. One is, Genesis chapter 40, as he talked to the cupbearer, he said, "But when everything is going well with you, remember me. Do me a favor. Speak to Pharaoh about me. Get me out of this prison. I was taken away from the land of Hebrews by force. Even here, I haven't done anything to be put in prison for." So he's talking, and this guy knew he interpreted dreams. He's talking to him and says, "Remember me. Put in the good word for me. You remember what happened?" Skip down to verse 23. What happened? You think Joseph was in prison? He wanted to get out. "Put in the good word for me, for the big guy. I want out." And what did that guy do? He forgot about it. Once he was out, he forgot about it. Think Joseph had a right to be bitter? The fourth point. Don't think God's timing is your timing. Sometimes we think we know best. Sometimes we want things to happen now. But God's timing is not your timing. Psalm 37, 5 through 9. In the middle there, you'll see, "Be still, be patient, wait for the Lord to act. Don't be upset when other people succeed. Don't be upset when they carry out their evil plans." It's tough to do sometimes, but God tells us to be patient. That's God's timing. 1 Peter, "So don't be proud. Put yourself under God's mighty hand. Then He will honor you at the right time." God has a schedule. It may not sync up with your schedule, but God has a schedule. You know, one of life's greatest tests is when you're punished not for doing wrong, but for doing good. When you're persecuted for doing what's right. And in 1 Peter, it talks about that. You don't get bitter when you're suffering for serving God. Someone said, "Don't doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light." When you're in a dark point in your life, you've got the word to learn about God and to see what promises that we have in store for us. And God will not fail you. There's a day coming when God will make everything right. We may not see it now, but God has promised it. In a time when nothing seems to make sense, nothing seems to work out, Your effort is not paying off. And prayers seem to go unanswered. Don't demand to understand. Don't fail to be faithful. Don't bow to bitterness. And don't think God's timing is your timing. Don't be unwilling to wait for God. You need to know Jesus because he's the key to it all. The prophets in the Old Testament, they look forward to a coming Messiah. Now, we look back in this book to a risen Savior. You need to be one of God's chosen people and put your trust in God. You need to know that God has a plan for your life. This may be your time. Because God has given you a way to have your sins forgiven. And you have the ability to walk with him. And understand what he has in store for your life. Now, being a Christian doesn't mean that everything's easy. You can see by the examples of God's faithful men that they didn't always have an easy time with it. But you see that God blessed them. And God will bless you. We make this opportunity available for those who want to know more about God's plan for their life. And we also give you an invitation. We invite you to let us know whatever needs you have. Now, I know a lot of people right here have been going through tough situations. And some of the things that I've mentioned, people are dealing with those things right now. And they're tough. And they may call you. They may have you question your faith. But we're here for you. And we want to help you. So we'll sing this invitation song. As Bob brings that to us, we invite you. Come forward. Let us know what we need, what you need us to do. And we want to help you. We want to help you serve God better.